Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. I'm Eric Vail and I'm a member of the Public Worship Committee. And whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time gathering with us in worship, we're glad you found your way to worship together today in our community. A few things about Gates Presbyterian Church. You can find out ways that we are church together through worship and fellowship, mission and learning opportunities. Your bulletin has a calendar and a list of announcements for you to take a look at, so please do that at your leisure, but certainly not during the sermon. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing in front of the communion table after worship. And also during the offering, if you would pass the hospitality register, sign your name and pass it along so the folks next to you will get to know you if you don't know them already. Also, please join us after worship in the fellowship hall at the far end of the building for coffee and conversation. We do have a few announcements this morning, and we'll start with Kay.
Good morning. My announcement's only for the confirmation class. Just want to remind you that next week is a meeting starting at 4 o'clock for parents, confirmands, and sponsors. Dinner will be provided, and if you have any questions, please call the church office. And youth group next week, don't forget, it's a haunted hayride. Hope to see you then.
Linda?
Good morning, I'm Linda Beatty, and this is Kathy Wakeman, and we are the co-chair people of the Church Mouse Bazaar. Kathy will tell you a little bit about it.
Hi, everybody. So this is our 38th annual Church Mouse Bazaar this year. It's pretty exciting, and it's always a really big event in our church. This year we have more than 70 vendors, so we're really looking forward to that. We need everybody's help to make this event happen. And so inside your bulletin today, you will find this lovely pumpkin insert. If you could please fill it out and check the things that you would like to help with. Also, if you would please add your email down at the bottom, that would be a big help for us because it's really hard sometimes to get a hold of people by telephone. Okay? So we hope to see lots and lots of you there to buy stuff and also have lots of you helping us out.
You can place the flyer either in the offering plate or you can give it to Kathy and I. Thank you.
Thank you.
I won't let on. Had kind of a serious problem this morning, don't I always, but we're signing up for St. Joseph's to go Saturday. And we have no money and hardly anything signed up out there. So I'm going to do it whether they approve or not. I'll take $2, I'll take $5. If you would like to give a gift, I'll be in the hallway and I'll go do the shopping. We're desperate. Otherwise, it comes out of Al's pocket and I don't think that should happen. So I'll see you later. Thank you.
And Katie.
Good morning, everyone. So Saturday, October 24th, I would love you to save the date. It is the annual fall cleanup. It starts at 8:30. You can come whenever you want. You can stay as long as you can. There's going to be donuts. It'll be great. We need all the help we can get. Thank you.
I think that's it, unless anybody had anything else. So right about now, most of you are saying, well, where's Melissa? And I'm certainly not Melissa. So I'm very pleased to introduce and welcome to you today Reverend Dr. Rula Alcori, who is a pastor at First Presbyterian Church, Batavia. And Melissa and our GPC Guatemala team are actually worshiping and leading worship in Batavia today. And Rula has been kind enough to lead worship with us today. So please give Rula a kind and warm welcome when you see her after worship. Rula? Thank you.
morning. Please stand and join me, if able, in the call to worship. Here we are again, brought together in this wondrous community to find true life within it. Here we will sing again. Sing of joy and sorrow, praise and imperfection, all held together in divine love. Here we will listen again. Listen to stories, ancient and new, to discover truths written deep within our hearts. Here we will live again. As people of the great peace, persistent in love, compassion, and justice.
The assurance of God's forgiveness, of God's love, as we bring our prayers of confession, will you please join me in this prayer? We come, O God, today to worship you and to pray together, knowing that we will not find that needed justice in our apathy. We will not find our hope for unity with our doctrines. We will not find that rest we crave in our overflowing planners. But we will find you in the brokenness of the bread, in the breaking of our hearts. We will find you when we squeeze closer together, making room at the table for all your people. Amen. And And we take a few moments of silence for personal confession. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. God's holy law is written on the hearts of all people. We can trust that this way of love will climb over every obstacle, endure every hardship, and prevail throughout time. May we not lose heart. Amen. Can we please have all the children come forward for a moment with Frona, who will always provide awesome words of inspiring thoughts.
Still children, and I act like it. I know it. But that's the life. Can you read that? What does it say? All right, and we're going to learn how to do that. Who likes to hug? Some old lady from the church? I do, see? You feel like I know you, and I hug quite often, don't we? Oh, you are. God bless. Well trained. A cow with arms around her neck. That's how we hug a cow. But a cow, is that silly? Is it hugging a cow? Oh, a dog or a cat, that's not so hard. We all can do that. How many of you have animals at home? Oh, wow. You know how to hug animals. Really? Oh, really? That happens. Hugging bunnies is just divine. How would you like to hug all of those? It would take all day, wouldn't it? I know. That would be too much. Uh-oh. How do you hug a porcupine? Oh, I guess so. Well, we're going to find out. Look at her. She just told the end of my story. She been here before? Can you hug some billy goats? Yes, if you entice them with a big bag of oats, then they'll come up to you. No, you don't want to do that? All right, we'll go to the next one. How do you hug a porcupine? We're going to find out. It's going to be helpful. This prickly fellow won't be easy. My stomach's feeling kind of queasy. He wears a coat of thorny quills. To hug this one will take some skills. I don't think I'd want to hug that, would you?
No.
Glad you came up. A hedgehog hug is a little pricky. An ostrich is a little tickly. No. We don't want to do that. But how do you hug a porcupine? Let's get going here. Somebody wants to do a sermon. An elephant, please hug his trunk. That's not too bad. You just got to get their other little end of the nose. A kangaroo just hopped his way. Oh, he'd be easy if you had something to jump up and down on. See, you know the end of the story. Don't let the dolphin slip away. Look, she's hanging on to the backside. He's swimming around. Glad you came up. You need it. You must go slowly. Never hurry. Porcupines aren't soft and furry. At last, hooray, it's finally time. This is how you hug a porcupine. Very carefully, or it will hurt. I'm glad you joined with me. Can we just spend a quick minute, have a little prayer with God? Is that okay? How about we all give ourselves a big hug? Everybody hug. Look at all the good huggers. Wow. Ready? Hey, God. Gotta help me. Hey, God. Thank you for joining us this beautiful morning. Hey, and thanks my parents for bringing me today. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of Mark, chapter 12. Jesus said to them, "Is not this the reason you are wrong, that you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the story about the bush, how God said to them, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' He is God, not of the dead, but of the living. You are quite wrong."
The second reading is from Exodus. Listen to what the Spirit has to say to the church today. "Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, 'Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase and in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land.' Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick, and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks they imposed on them." And from chapter 3, "Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up.' When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground.' He said further, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, 'I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt.' But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?' He said, 'I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain.' But Moses said to God, 'If I come to the Israelites and say to them, "The God of your ancestors has sent me to you," and they ask me, "What is God's name?" what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for generations.
Will you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for your words spoken to us in the ancient scriptures as we receive them today. Help us to open our hearts to the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, speaking to each one of us in a way that we do not miss it, in a way that we know that we are encountering you and your claim on our lives. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad to be with you this morning. When Melissa and the team from Batavia and Gates Presbyterian Church decided to go to Guatemala together, they came back, and I understand in July they had the service with you here where they shared about their experiences. And I said to them, why don't you do that in Batavia? And they said, sure, but here's the catch. You got to go to Gates and preach. I was hoping for a Sunday off. I actually wanted to hear their experience, so I'm hoping when I go back that the service is recorded and I will be able to hear their reflections. But I am glad to be with you this morning. Loved hearing your choir, loved hearing the music, loved being with Presbyterians who are different from the congregation I've been serving for almost 8 years. And today, hopefully, the sermon will help you reflect on your experience of God. And this is one of those famous stories, the Exodus story of Moses encountering God in the burning bush. So hopefully this will be something of a burning bush for all of us to experience the presence of God that is very transforming. So today I want to tell you a little bit about my background, because I actually cheated. I preached this sermon last week in my congregation. So, but they have a context for who I am. So I'll give you a little bit of background about me. I grew up in Damascus, Syria. I was part of a family who is Christian. My parents, my father is Presbyterian, my mother is Catholic. I grew up in Syria. Went to university there and moved to the States to go to seminary. So Syria is my home, as well as the United States. And recently, I used to tell people I'm from Syria, and people would look at me like, where is that? Now, because of the news, everybody knows about Syria. And I want to share some reflections on the story of Moses and the people of Israel in connection to the story of the people of Syria right now. Most of us have become really aware of the crisis there. Last 4 years, the struggles, the fighting with the government forces, and the many different groups in Syria. And last month, in September, many of you have seen the image of the little boy that washed up on the shore in Turkey, where the soldier picked him up. He was dead. He drowned with his brother and his mother, and trying to escape a refugee camp. So most of us are really aware of the depth of the crisis there, but the numbers are staggering in Syria right now of all the people who have been affected by the war there. About 7 million people are internally displaced people in Syria. So they've had to flee home, but they have left the country, but they're living homeless, basically, within their own country. 4 million people have left Syria and have been living as refugees in refugee camps. The people
seen flooding Europe are those people who have been living for 4 years in refugee camps, and they've lost hope, and they've decided that walking and endangering their lives or getting on a boat is better than living the life they've been living in Turkey, in Lebanon, in Jordan, to some extent in Iraq. By estimates of the United Nations, Syria has regressed about 4 decades in terms of development because of the war that's been taking place there. And it's really interesting looking at the world and the reaction to the crisis in Syria. Some people want to send bombs and more weapons to Syria, as if that would help. Some people are willing to welcome the refugees, and yet some people are seeing them as a threat. I want to share with you a poem, a part of a poem. It's a long poem, so I'll share just a few of the lines of the poem by a Somali-British poet. Her name is Wasran Shire. She wrote this back in September as a reflection on the experience of the Syrian people having to flee their home. It's called Home. She says, "No one leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark. You only run for the border when you see the whole city running as well. No one leaves home unless home chases you. Fire under feet, hot blood in your belly. It's not something you ever thought of doing until the blade burnt threats into your neck. No one puts their children in a boat unless the water is safer than the land. No one crawls under fences. No one wants to be beaten, pitied. No one chooses refugee camps or strip searches where your body is left aching, or prison because prison is safer than a city on fire. No one could take it. No one could stomach it. No one's skin would be tough enough. The go-home blacks, refugees, dirty immigrants, asylum seekers, sucking our country dry. They smell strange, savage, messed up their country, and now they want to mess up ours. How do the words, the dirty looks, roll off your backs? Maybe because the blow is softer than torn off, or the insults are easier to swallow than rubble, than bone, than your child in pieces. I want to go home, but home is the mouth of a shark. Home is the barrel of the gun, and no one would leave home unless home chased you to the shore, unless home told you to quicken your legs, leave your clothes behind, fall through the desert, wade through the oceans. I don't know what I've become, but I know that anywhere is safer than here." These words came to my mind, of course, thinking of the story of the Israelites and knowing that the story of people fleeing home is as ancient as time. And our Bible story is about the story of people having to leave home because home had become the mouth of a shark. We hear about the cry of the Israelites. They've been living in Egypt. We know the story of they're going to Egypt because Joseph was sold into slavery into Egypt. And then his brothers and father, his whole family came and lived in Egypt. And they multiplied there and they made it home until the new king came to power and decided that this minority of people, this ethnic group, was a threat to them. And they had to subdue them, to control them. It's funny if you pay attention to the language. Fear that had possessed the heart of Pharaoh. Pharaoh saw these people as a threat, but didn't quite want them to leave. Wanted them to stay, but to stay in their place. So he was afraid that if they pressed them too much, they would run away, or they would fight with another group if they were attacked, and then would be able to run away. He wanted them to stay, but wanted them to stay as slaves. And he devised many different plans to keep these people in their place, oppressed and abused, and to stay there under control. And the funny thing, of course, of the story, the irony, as in many biblical stories, is who God calls to help the people of Israel. Now, we tend to think of Moses. Any of you have seen the Ten Commandments? Yeah. Well, of course, we tend to think of Moses as this big, powerful man with muscles and a beautiful voice. But the biblical story is not so. Moses was hesitant. Moses himself had to flee home. You remember the story of Moses. Tell me, the Presbyterians here know the story of Moses. How does it go? From the beginning. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. What am I hearing over there? Yeah. So Moses himself had to flee for him, for his life. I mean, remember the story of Shifra and Pua, the midwives, who did not want, they were ordered by the king to kill the babies, especially the boys, but they refused to do that. And Moses was born in that time when the baby boys of the Israelites were ordered to be killed. But in order to save his life, they had to put him in a basket and have Pharaoh's daughter find him and adopt him. And he's raised in Pharaoh's house. But he always knew who he was. He always knew that he belonged to the Hebrew people because his mother and his sister were involved in the whole story. So Moses himself was an unlikely figure. Yes, he knew the court, he knew the Pharaoh's house, but he also killed an Egyptian when he saw the Egyptian man oppressing a Hebrew person. So he saw the oppression of his people because these were his people. He killed a man. Now, whether that's right or wrong, that's a different part of the story. He had to flee out of Egypt because he was afraid for his life. And he found a wife, he found a new life, he had settled into his new life. And of course in the Bible it tells us 40 years had passed, which means a long time passed. So we would imagine that Moses was not young. He was not like the movie where we see, you know, a burly man with strong muscles and ability. He probably was an older man and not very strong at that. So he's the one that's called by God. He's the one that's called by God. He himself was a refugee. He himself was an outlaw. He was the one to go back and help lead the people out of their misery. How do you think Moses reacted? You've heard the story. If you were in Moses' shoes, even though you encountered God in the mystery of the burning bush, even though you might have had the most incredible experience or vision, still he would hesitate. And he did. He had excuses. I am not good. I don't speak well. Maybe he had a speech impediment. Whatever it was. He said, well, how would the people know? I don't perform miracles. I'm not a spiritual leader. What? How would they believe me? And I love the answer because it adds more to the irony. God doesn't give an answer, a straight-on answer. Gives, yeah, I'm the God of your fathers, I'm the God of your ancestors, but I am who I am. Can't name me, basically. Go on faith. I am the one who will be what I will be, unlike the gods of the Egyptians. Any of you have been to Egypt? If you've been to Egypt, many gods, many names for different gods. They worship them. So they knew the names of the gods. And so here, Moses is not given an official name. He's just given a description. I am who I am. Just tell them. Tell them I am sent me. So Moses has to go on faith. Moses has to believe that he somehow have enough power within him, with God guiding him to help get the people out of Egypt into freedom. Not an easy task. And today, as we reflect on this story, I want to invite you to think of the world's problems that are heavy on your heart. This week, three mass shootings in our country. You don't have to look very far to see the struggles
the oppression of the people. You could look at Syria, you could look around the world, but you could also look right here in your own community for the people who are living in slavery, in bondage. Maybe you're experiencing right now in your life. To think of the story of Moses, to think of God using the most unlikely person, probably not the most qualified person, but to think that would make such a difference is an invitation for each one of us as we come together to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us about our experiences, where God could use us today, where the world is hurting, where our transformation does matter. That's how God works. That's how Jesus works. There's no big secret to it that God would send floods or big things from the sky. We wish for that, but that's not how it works. Love is more powerful because it enters the human heart. And it leads us to do things we never thought we could. It leads us to cross boundaries of fear, of sense of apathy, of a sense of scarcity. Our world is full of gospels, meaning people telling you that there is good news in more money, there is good news in more guns, there is good news in more power, there is good news in more bombs. But we know a different story. We know the story of the burning bush. We know when we stand on holy ground that it's only the power of love that makes a difference at the end of the day. And so today I want to invite you to consider how that is a call for you, how that is a call for each one of us to look at the world and to look at the story of Exodus, the story that inspired so many people to look for freedom, to work for freedom in ways of love, to think of how that is the call for each one of us. And I want to end with a video. And the video is a song by Kurt Vester. Kurt Vester was in the former country of Yugoslavia in the 1970s as a missionary. And he saw a lot of children getting killed just by bombs or by fire in that country. And so he wrote this prayer. And it's a prayer for the children of the world. It's a prayer for children who are afraid for their lives. I want to invite you to allow prayer, the words of the song, to be holy ground for each one of you as you respond to the call of God on your life.
The prayer of the children on bended knee in the shadow of an unknown moon. Empty eyes with no more tears to Jesus, help me to see the morning light of one more day. But if I should die before I wake, I pray my soul to take. Can you of the children aching for hope, for something of their very own, reaching hands with nothing to hold on to but hope for a better day. Jesus, help me to feel unknown roads lead away from home. Give me loving arms away from harm. Can you hear the voice of the children? Silence in the shattered world. Angry guns preach a gospel full of hate. Blood of the innocent on their hands. Crying, Jesus, sun again upon my face, for in darkness clears I know your name, bringing peace again. Darling Judith, can you hear the prayer of the
we come to share the prayers of joy and concern of the community of faith. If you have something that you would like to share, I guess the microphones will be offered to you if you raise your hand.
God bless.
Lucinda Price. I'd like to tell you that today is Wendell Burton's 90th birthday.
Happy.
Oh.
I'm Nancy Maggioli. It's been a while since Mark and I have regularly attended church. Lots of reasons, no excuses. But I wanted to share what happened Thursday evening. I was in my car, my phone rang. It was a phone number I didn't recognize, which typically would mean I wouldn't answer it. But I answered it, and I forget the gentleman's name, but he was calling on behalf of Gates Presbyterian Church. And he asked me, you know, said he was checking in, wanted to know how I was doing. And I'm sure he was expecting me to say, oh, I'm fine, thanks, how are you? What he didn't know is we were on my way home from my dad's funeral. So I shared that with him. And he was very gracious. I know I caught him off guard. I also know the reason why he was doing the outreach, because we have kept up with the Harbinger and the church mailings. And I hung up the phone and I looked at Mark and I said, we need to go back to church on Sunday. So I just wanted to encourage Gates Presbyterian to continue to reach out to people, because there's going to be that one person like us that you'll reach that was meant to be on that day. Thank you.
Hi, Marie Wilson. I'd like you to pray for my nephew, Anthony Walkham, who is in the Air Force and was deployed to Saudi Arabia.
I don't have a prayer, but we have guests here today and a beautiful little girl with them. So if you can find time to say hello, that would be really nice. They're beautiful people.
Hi, Jennifer Teal. I'd like to ask for prayers for a little girl named Betsy Ross. She was the 7-year-old girl in the 441 DWI crash. She's a second grader at the student I teach at, and I taught her music. And it's heartbreaking to see an entire school community so upset about this. And she had a fractured skull and brain bleeding. But as far as we've known, that she's doing a lot better. She's still unconscious, but she's in good hands at Strong.
We have some requests from the children. Thanks for a beautiful day to go apple picking. Thanks for Grandma and Grandpa's sleepover. Thanks for birthday parties. Let us continue in prayer. Eternal God, we thank you for this week, which has presented us with a new season, a new opportunity to enjoy your creation. We pause today as we lift up to you the joys and concerns of our hearts. We come mindful of the many places we have encountered you in sadness, but also in places of deep joy. We're mindful today of our sisters and brothers around the world who suffer. Unite us in our commitment to service and to love, to the ways of Jesus. Bless your people wherever they gather. Create unity, love, and Christian witness in each place. Help us as we celebrate the abundance of our world to be mindful of those who are in need. May we have the ability to share generously. May we have the vision to give, to help those who are in need. Even if we are experiencing need in our lives, help us to trust in your abundance for us. And help us to be open to the love that is given to each one of us. May we have the vision, the will, and the spirit to do all that we can do to help rebuild people, world, places of justice, places of compassion. May we see your kingdom as part of our mission each day. Now we take a few moments of silence, be in the fullness of your presence we continue in prayer using the words our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the many gifts you have bestowed upon our congregation, the gifts of the talents of music and people, and Melissa, who brings us Rula, who helps us learn in new ways to see God. Please accept our gifts as a small token of our deep gratitude and appreciation. Amen.
Thank you.
Helen Keller once said, "Although the world is full of brokenness, it is also full of overcoming it. So we go with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit to proclaim that goodness and that love. Amen."